Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long, and we're going to go straight to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. He's one of one, the greatest defensive line coach ever, the legendary Pete Jenkins. Pete, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon.
It's my pleasure, Mike.
Pete, I got to ask you, because I know you are close, but tell people a little bit about the new defensive line coaches at LSU. Kevin Peoples, most people know about Kyle Williams, great career at LSU and certainly with the Buffalo Bills, and now coaching the interior of LSU's defensive line. Kevin Peoples comes in from Missouri, and you didn't have a direct connection with Kevin. I think you had it through Bo Davis. But
No, actually, Mike, I've been knowing Kevin. I started working with Kevin in 2010.
Okay.
He was at Arkansas State, and they brought me to Arkansas State. I knew the coordinator. They brought me to Arkansas State, and I met Kevin at that time. I believe it was 2010, I believe it was.
Okay.
And we have really been really close friends since that time, Mike. So I go way back with Kevin, and I'm so proud of what he's done and what he's accomplished. I kind of, you know, I saw that kind of potential in him when I first met him. He's quiet. He's not too quiet, but he's quiet, and he's a really good listener. And I'm telling you, Mike, he does a really good job with his players. Everywhere he's been, he has really done a fine job. So I'm really proud of Kevin. I was so delighted when he came here. He was one that I recommended to Coach Kelly, and I knew they would hit it off, and I knew he'd be very good. And then, of course, Bo, you know, was the other one that Coach Kelly got, but, you know, one moved on to the Saints. Now, Kyle, I recruited Kyle, Mike, and I don't know that I've ever seen a more competitive player than Kyle, both in college and in the NFL. When he came out, I was at the Eagles when he came out. Mike, I begged them to take him. I mean, I pleaded with them to take him. I said, you guys, and they said, well, he's short, and and they said, hey, Pete, you think all these LSU guys are the best in the world? I said, well, I'm going to just tell you, you don't know what's beating in that guy's chest. So I'm not familiar with his coaching, but I can tell you this. He is a person. He is first-class guy, and as a competitor, he's beyond most anybody I've ever known. So they're in good shape, and I just heard a gentleman say on the radio talking to Mike there that I forget the guy's name at LSU. He was talking about the depth. It sure did sound good to me.
It sure did. Now, you and I talked about this, and you were like, Mike, I agree with you, but two things can be right. One, they got talent and depth, but look who they're going up against in practice. Young kids along that offensive line that have not played. Pete, how difficult from when you scouting another team, when you did that, when you lose four or five starting offensive linemen, how difficult that is to replace. That's really tough.
It is tough. It really is. And as I hear about the team, I don't go over there, Mike. You know, I really don't want to feel them to feel like I'm looking over their shoulder or whatever, you know, especially Kevin and Kyle. And I felt that way about Bo also. But I keep up with them. I follow them, you know, and I read about them and whatever. You know, it seems like, to me, that we got good depth and we got experience everywhere but maybe the offensive line. And it is really, it's a tough job now. It's really a tough job to lose as many as we lost and come back and be where we were a year ago at this time with the offensive line. I mean, we lost some damn good players. So it's going to be a chore. They got a damn good coach. and it's going to be a chore, but I'm sure they will get better and mature as the season goes along.
Too bad you got to play Clemson game one, because man, they got a couple cats in T.J. Parker and Peter Woods. Oh, my
Peter
goodness.
Woods.
I know you know a lot about Peter.
Listen, Peter Woods, they wanted him so bad at Alabama. I mean, he was their number one guy. I remember one day they put me on the – I was working at Alabama and doing my clinic stuff, and they put me on the phone with him, Mike. And they told me, they said, hey, Pete, put your charm on this guy right here now, because he's the best thing since sliced bread. So, yeah, it's difficult. I mean, Clemson is going to be a tough opponent. You know, they are not a Southeastern Conference team, but they should be. And I worked a week there, 3 years ago. I guess it was 3 years ago I worked a week there. And the thing that I did, spending that week with their coaches and watching film, the one thing that I saw that stood out, they play like the hair's on fire. I mean, it's going to be it's going to be a tough opener again for LSU. So, and I've coached it at their Death Valley, they call it. I've coached there, at the University of South Carolina, places other than LSU. They're tough to beat there too. They're like LSU at home. They're tough to beat. So, it's a tough opener, Mike.
You know, Coach, I wanted to ask you if you've, like, it's a lot of new faces in this edge rusher room for LSU specifically. I know you talked about Coach Peoples. They got the right edge coach, but a lot of new guys brought in after you lose Savion Jones, Brandon Swinson to the NFL draft. Both those guys had excellent years last year for LSU's defensive front. But you bring in guys like Jack Pyburn from Florida, Patrick Payton from Florida State, Jamari Butler from Nebraska. Bernard Gooden has been making a lot of plays at camp so far, the USF transfer. I just wanted to know if you were familiar with any of these guys, if you've done any work with them, and if you have, what Tiger fans can expect.
I haven't. I have spoken with Kevin about them, and I kept reading, where we were signing these guys and everything. Now, he's a guy that doesn't get too high or too low, but he's extremely proud of them. And he thinks that they really did a good job getting those guys out of the portal. I think that the thing that's probably different about this team is they had such a great recruiting class, but also they supplemented with the portal. And, I think they built some depth in areas that they really needed to. So I think you can look for some really good edge play. And like we said, they got the coach, and it sounds like they got the players.
Coach, we had Marlon Favorite on last week,
yeah.
And Marlon was talking about, man, when I got there, man, you had to wait your turn. But he said, the crazy thing about that, we rotated 9 to 10 defensive linemen every game. He said, okay, that ain't happened. He said, probably since then. That many really talented defensive linemen. And he was like, okay, we maybe had a little drop-off from the first team, but it wasn't a big drop-off. And he said, at LSU now, like when you were there, you lose a player, it was a Mount Everest drop-off when you play in a young guy who really hadn't played before or hadn't played that position.
Yeah. And it takes depth. To be a championship team, it takes depth now. Because, the defensive line, especially the interior guys where Kyle works, that's a high-risk position. No matter what league you're in or where you are, that is a high-risk position. So the last year I was able to work at LSU was 2023. And, Mike, I had 3 defensive tackles for 2 positions. I had 3 defensive ends for 2 positions. So, I lived in fear that I'd lose one because we had no depth. We were fortunate. We lost Mingo, early, and I only got to coach Mingo in a half of the Missouri game, which was my first game back, and in the bowl game, I got to coach him in the bowl game. We lost him, unfortunately. We lost him very early, and it really put us in a hole. We moved Savion in there just to give us a big defensive end that we could put into a game if we lost another guy. So I'm so happy to hear about that depth that I heard him talking about, young man from LSU talking about that depth. I'm so excited about that. And I knew we were pretty good at the outside position. I'm hoping we got depth, that same quality of depth in the inside position.
Coach, we had on Davin Gotshaw, got to talking, and, you know, so I brought up, you know, because you told me so many stories about Davin. And he flipped it right back to me. He said, you know, when Coach Jenkins came in here, you know, he was coaching under Coach O, he said, we didn't maybe hit it off right off the bat. And maybe he thought I wasn't giving him great effort. But he said, you know, by the time it finished, him and I were on the same page. And he said, I wouldn't be where I'm at without Pete Jenkins. I thought that was a great statement by Davin. So your thoughts on what Davin brings to the table? Because in practices, Pete, if they try to run the ball up the middle, pow, Davin, yeah, he stopped that, kind of hit his hands, over with. All well said and done. But he had a bit of a rocky ride. I remember talking to Coach O about it, and you've told me the same story early on, where he was really more of an end than he was today. Now he's playing that nose tackle position. Yeah.
And that's where he belongs. That's who he is. I'll tell you, you know, Ed coached him his sophomore year. And I would ask, Ed would send me the film, Mike, and Ed and I would look at the film. I would be in Florida and I would have it on my computer. And Ed and I would look at the game film from the previous, this would be on a Sunday. We would look at the game film together, Ed and I would. And I remember asking Ed one day, I said, I don't know this guy, Gotshaw. Is he a dumb guy? Is he a guy that doesn't really know how to follow instructions? Or is he just hard-headed? And Ed and I talked about, because he really didn't do what we were asking him to do. But I came in that next year in 2016, and let me tell you, I ain't never coached anybody I enjoyed more than I did him. It just, you know, it just changed our relationship. I don't know, it just blossomed, Mike. And you know, by the time the season was done, there wasn't a better defensive lineman in the Southeastern Conference. I tell you, there was a boy working at the Chiefs, and he told me, he was a scout, and he told me that he got up in the meeting and told them, look, you guys are overlooking this guy. If you will show me a better four technique in the United States of America, I'll buy you the biggest steak in Kansas City. He said he had that. He was felt that strongly about him. And to tell you the truth, I did too. I thought it didn't. His success, Mike, in pro ball has not been a surprise to me at all.
Coach, I know you don't do as many kind of here, there, all over as you used to. You and I both ain't getting no younger. But I know you were with the Dolphins.
Speak and yourself,
also, Mike. Okay, I'll say just me. But I got a new knee, so at least I got something
new.
Tell us about
you. Now with that new knee.
Well, it won't be now, but maybe down the road. Tell us a little bit about you. You had a run with the Miami Dolphins and also with the Jaguars that you spent some time there with both teams.
Yeah. So this is the third time that I've been hired at the Dolphins. The other two times, Flo was the head coach, and he hired me in 2020 and 2021. And so I hadn't been back there until this year. McDaniels finally gave them the permission to hire me and bring me in and everything. So what I do, Mike, and this is so much fun. I mean, it was just, golly, it was so much fun. I coached 5 days, and we were in the phase of OTAs. You know, the NFL's got they've changed that stuff around. So phase one, phase two, phase three, you can do this, you can't do this, you can't do. Anyways, it was phase three, I believe, which means that it's individual, fundamental time. So anyways, I go to Miami and I coach on the field for 5 days. Now, let me tell you, I felt like I was turning the clock back. It was 93 to 95 every day, and the humidity was like Louisiana, like South Louisiana. I mean, when I would leave the field, Mike, I would wring my shirt out. I mean, I was, it looked like I'd been in a dadgum swimming pool. But it was great. I enjoyed it so much. The pay was good. The food was good. They took good care of me, and it was just, I was just blessed to get to do it. Then 2 weeks later, they hired me at the Jaguars. I know the new coordinator there. and we got the Louisiana boy, this the assistant D-line coach, Derek LeBlanc, who you probably remember.
I sure do.
Yeah, Derek is from over in Acadiana, and he's done well. He's the assistant D-line coach at Jacksonville. And both he and Matt Edwards, who is the defensive line coach, they both work in Thibodeau. So that was great. I just seen them in Thibodeau, and then all of a sudden I'm down there in Jacksonville. And what was great too, Mike, was I got to spend time with Mason and with Jordan Jefferson, who played here for us, you know. And I'd had a pro defensive line camp in Dallas 2 weeks before, and Mason and Jordan both came to the camp in Dallas. And you know, Mike, they did well, boy. Both of them did very, very well. I was really proud of them. Mason is a whole different guy than he was in 2023. He's matured both physically and mentally. I was so impressed with him, and they really got, Jordan played a lot last year. Mason played 5 really good games. The last 5 games, he played really good. So those two guys are doing great. I got a chance to sit down and be with both of them. It was a little different there, Mike. I didn't go on the field. I basically, we met from 7:30 to 7, and we sent out for food. So what we did, I mean, we stayed in the meeting room. And the defensive staff was in there, and it was a different deal than Miami hired me to do something different than Jacksonville did. Is what I'm saying. But it was fun too, and I feel blessed that I'm still able to do that, Mike.
I'll never forget in talking to Mason, and he's training for the NFL draft, and he's, you know, asking me a bunch of different questions, and I got more phone calls about Mason than I can ever remember a player, and everybody was intrigued because of the potential. Mason. And so one day I tell him, I said, tell me something about Pete Jenkins. And he was like, Mr. Mike, I got to tell you this. There was only one coach that ever really got on me in college. I said, well, who was it? He said, you just said his name. Pete Jenkins. He said everybody else was scared that I would transfer if they told me something. He said, ain't nobody told me anything. And so I'm still laughing. It was just his facial expression when he told me, you just said his name, Pete Jenkins.
Yeah. He's great, man. What a great kid he is. You know, and I said to him over in Dallas when we were, you know, so that little camp I have over there is it's 2-a-days. It's a morning practice, which is run, and there's an afternoon practice, which is pass rush. And I said to him, I said, Mace, you know, you look like what I thought you were going to look like down the road. You know, you've gotten bigger, you've gotten stronger, you know, you've matured, your body's matured. And, you know, Mike, that was the reason I wanted him so badly to come back to LSU one more year.
He told me that, too.
You know, the thing he did, see, Bo wouldn't say, I'm coming. Bo would just, he would not definitely commit to taking the job. So Mace asked me, he said, Coach, you know, I've had 7 coaches here. And he said, you know, I don't want to have another bad coach. He said, you know, it can't help me. He said, you know, if you tell me Coach Bo is coming, I'll stay and play another year. And I said, Mace, I can't lie to you. I think he's coming, but I don't know if he's coming. And I couldn't, you know, Mike, I just couldn't lie to him and tell him, yeah, he's coming. I felt like Bo was going to come. But he wouldn't say that to me or to Coach Kelly. So anyways, what he looks like right now was what I was hoping he would look like when he came out after the 2024 season. He looks like a different man right now.
Yeah, I agree. Totally, totally. Coach, thanks so much for joining us. Always love when you come on, man. Great insights and always thank super you, with us. So thank you so much, Coach.
I always enjoy you guys, too. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Coach.
All righty. One of one, the legendary Pete Jenkins.